This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what's up, what's up? This is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy, the set from Mapanga, the sexy girl, Candace, and the one and only Craig 06. Sit back and relax. Don't worry, you're in good hands. Out.
Urban Culture Drive.
Boy, listen, Candace, Craig 06. Urban Culture Drive.
And it is a Tuesday, and you're tuned in to Cliff Central via Urban Culture Drive. Oh my goodness, I did mess that up, as Candace would have predicted.
But never.
I had a powerful intro right there.
Roll it again, honey.
You are listening to Cliff Central via Urban Culture Drive. Or is it via Urban Culture Drive, Cliff Central? Either way, guys.
Guys, you tuned into Urban Culture Drive right here on Cliff Central.
100%. And today, you are being hosted by Craig O'Sexy.
Woohoo!
And, of course, the lovely Candace Coulson.
Hey, now.
How are you doing, babe?
I am 100%. I'm so excited because, like, we're 4 days away from December. But many would argue we are already inside.
I'm already inside.
We are inside December.
But I feel like there's something that we're missing out right now.
What? A voice?
A year ago.
Oh!
A year ago.
So guys, please to us. I want the applause. I want all the sound effects.
100%.
Guys, we just turned a year old.
A year old.
Woo!
A year old. Urban Culture Drive. Yeah! We're still doing the most. I'm surprised we never killed each other.
Right?
A whole year.
Right?
You know what I mean?
I need 2-2-2 though. Otherwise, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
It needs to be 2-2-2.
100%. I get you. But other than that, how was your week?
My week was, it just started.
100%.
We're on Tuesday.
We're on Tuesday. Haven't you started drinking?
Child, let me tell you.
Uh-huh.
Friday. Like, I started drinking, like, around, like, Thursday, né? So by Friday, I was like, you know what?
I'm done.
I never want to see liquor again. I'm done.
I
don't care. It's December. I'm done.
Were you drinking Mampur?
Mm-mm. Gordons.
Okay.
Anyway,
without further ado.
Sharp, can I just finish my story?
I'm cutting her off now.
Why are you cutting me off? Anyway, so jiggy, my neighbor knocks on the door.
All right.
Brand new bottle of gin. And I'm like, there goes my little hiatus I was going to take. Hold up. Yesterday, I just recovered from a hectic Sunday. I'm like, you know what? I woke up the morning. I'm like, I'm detoxing. I'm done with liquor. It is a wrap. My soul will never see liquor ever again.
Again.
Knock, knock on my door.
Who is this now?
My neighbor again with another bottle of gin.
Is he not trying to screw you?
No, not at all. No. He's not trying to screw me. I think. Anyway, so there goes all of that. So I guess I'm not quitting.
I'm not quitting. 100%.
I'm drinking, Doug. How was your weekend?
I think, you know what? I learned a lot this past weekend.
Okay.
Which is something that I try not to do. I'm always that guy that's always trying to have fun.
You know? You learn a lot. You're an academic.
I am an academic, but I don't want to be labeled as that, which is what I want to talk about.
Oh, labels. You want to be a bad bitch?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I want to talk about labels, and there are a few labels that I came across. The last week. Especially the last week. And number one, we've got, obviously, people being labeled as black, white, woman, man, gay, straight, stubborn, amazing.
Ghetto.
Ghetto. All of these things have become actually adjectives. You know what I mean? That they used to actually describe a noun. And we don't know the difference between an adjective and a noun now because, I mean, an adjective and a label because they sort of like intertwine.
Overlap, yeah.
They overlap. You know, I look at Candace and I'm thinking she's colored. So I already have a...
Yes, you already boxed me.
Stereotype.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I got to learn a lot about this because I attended an amazing event.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, it was an event specifically for LGBTI plus, I don't know how many letters are there now. I mean, a Q plus T, Q, Z, I don't
a,
know.
B, C, D.
They just keep going. But I was exposed to that. You know, I was a judge for a beauty pageant.
Oh, awesome.
Very good turnout. Mzansi Gay Pride. It was amazing.
Awesome.
You know what
awesome.
I mean?
Awesome. Hey.
It's a new phenomenon. You know, we have the typical Gay Pride, Joburg Gay Pride, where we parade and stuff. But
what's the difference?
The difference is I feel like this one is more inclusive and more realistic because it's not a typical Stanton gay.
Gotcha.
It's not a typical Stanton gay who's affluent who will attend in Melrose.
Gotcha.
This is an actual outreach. You know, it's very informative, very intuitive. and also very brave, because I mean, this took place in the CBD of Johannesburg.
Oh, wow.
And you know, in my head I was thinking, geez, Melrose Arts, the last time I attended Melrose Arts, my car was bombed up, you know, somebody like broke into my car.
What?
It could be a hate crime, it could, we don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to the CBD to attend more or less the same type of movement. Yeah. What is going to happen?
What is going to happen in CBD?
You know what I mean? And with that, I got to think about labels. And this is why today we have an amazing guest with us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. So, you know, without further ado, I want to just give you a bit of the background with our person right here. I'm honored today. I mean, technically a little bit nervous because I've never been in this situation before. I've never in my life thought ever I'd sit next to an individual like this kind of person. Mm. Okay, so Lee Siva, Miss Lee Siva, was born and Mr. Lee Siva, but decided to identify himself as, I don't know, how do I diplomatically put this, transgender.
Yes.
100%. Because I know there's transvestite, there's transgender, there's different kinds, you know. Mm-hmm. And with that, I got to ask myself, geez, this person must have faced the most amount of labels in his entire life. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, the reason why I brought him to the stage, or to the studio, or to the show, rather, is because he's the one that organized this entire Mzansi Gay Pride. And it was an amazing turnout. I mean, we had Amstel there performing. We had that guy from Idols performing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I thought, who else would be better at describing labels, at describing how it actually feels like to be part of such a community, you know? So without further ado, please welcome in studio today, Miss Lee Siva.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Craig.
Welcome.
And the team.
Okay.
Okay, that was like a mouthful said about me. I don't know how to say it. I'm a person who just loves being myself. Labels have been part of my life forever. And before I could come out or identify as a transgender woman, I was labeled, or I came out as a gay man, which was so confusing to me, because living as a gay man where you're also not gay enough, or you're not masculine enough, or maybe you're not that ideally gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I came from being a little boy who grew up as not being male enough, and I was too feminine, and when I was with females, I was not too feminine because I'm not a female. Yeah. I was not born female. So I was never comfortable in any labels that I was given.
Yeah.
But as soon as I knew and understood what transgenderism is, or what kind of a person is a transgender, then that's when I fully found who I am.
100%.
And that's when my journey started. But I think also it's a journey that began from when I was young, or maybe when I was born, because that's when the box started.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I came into this world in a male body, and everybody expected me to be male, macho, and whatsoever. But as soon as I started to attend, have my own identity, that's when I started to make people realize that I am not the kind of male that they think I am. So that's when my mother had to adjust herself as well, and my other family members. It was not an easy transition to them as well, because I was also in the process of transitioning. Because transition doesn't start when you decide, or maybe you are comfortable with who you are, but it starts where you live your life and you understand who you are.
100%. I think with that, that's a very powerful statement, that a powerful paragraph that you just put out there. I want to know, and I think the listeners are quite curious about exactly who you are. I know that I didn't just invite you because you just decided to become a girl. Okay, not really. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that you've been getting up to. So, you know, just give us a real corporate and business background about who you are, where you're from, and why should people be interested in knowing about you?
Okay.
Other than the fact that you are part of the LGBTI plus community. Of course, we are awesome guys. We are.
We are, yeah, definitely. All right, definitely.
So, yeah.
Okay, just to correct you there, I'm not the founder of Mzansi Pride.
Okay.
Yaya Mavundla is a friend of mine, and I'm part of the organizing committee, which did an amazing job over the weekend.
Yes.
I like what you say that Mzansi Pride being in the CBD was like, and that's one thing that we wanted to take back, because Pride used to be in Hillbrow.
Yes.
The first Pride that was hosted in Joburg was in the CBD. So we're taking it to the people where people are actually discriminated, where people actually facing a lot of hate crimes, hate speech, and all those negativities.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we go to other prides, per se, let's just pick an example as, say, Joburg Pride, you would find different classes than when you would find in other prides, like in Soweto Pride or maybe in Ekurhuleni Pride and whatsoever. So Mzansi Pride includes everyone all together in one space, and also we're trying to say, let us remember each and every people that who were in the struggle of the LGBTI community, especially Simon Goli, who was the LGBTI activist. Other than being part of Mzansi Pride committee and organizing, I am the director of the Miss Gay Davidson, which I was crowned like
in 2002.
And then after that, the lady who did it was like, guys, I will never, ever, ever do this event again. It's too much stress. At that time, I was 18, and I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, I'll be the next queen for the next 20 years.
Right.
But as I grew older, I realized that that is my platform. I was given a platform to actually use it to be a somebody in my community, raise the flag high, because that pageant, me winning it, actually opened doors for me. I entered Miss Simply Blue, I entered Miss Black Pride, I entered Miss Soweto, Miss Gay Soweto, and other pageants that were gay feminine pageants or trans women pageants, which was a way of me to be an activist and to actually teach people about who I am. And that's where I fell in love with being a woman, and I understood more about being a woman. You understand? Because I could be myself and nobody could tell me no, yes, or whatsoever.
Yeah.
I could not be apologetic about it. And from then, that's when I started to realize that I am not just a beauty queen, but I'm an activist as well. I'm a community builder. And I thought to myself, this should not end here. In 2010, I started an organization in Davidson called Utingo the Rainbow, which was an LGBTI community for everyone. It was not only about the LGBTI community, but it was about the community as well, and the allies that support us. Because we need to understand that when we live in the community, we are not alone in the community, but we have other people that live within us, people who support us and people who tolerate us and people who don't want us. So we need to make sure that we understand each and everyone, and which spaces to go, which spaces not to go, and which spaces to avoid as well. Yes, it's not an ideal way of living,
but it's the reality, right?
It's a reality, because the minute I go out and find myself in a corner where I would be either raped, stabbed, or whatsoever, responsibility will lie on me. What were you doing there?
100%.
You understand? It's not going to be,
unfortunately,
it's not going to be the perpetrator's fault or whatsoever and whatsoever, but it's going to be your fault as a gay person, or maybe as a lesbian person, or as an individual who is not normal to other people. So that's when I realized that, you know what, there is so many things that I need to do in my community. I need to be visible.
Yeah.
Because the minute I become visible, that's when people realize that this person is like living her life freely, without any fear. And that's what I want to install to other LGBTI youth, or other ones who are still living in fear, that you need to show yourself.
Yeah.
Because the person who you are hiding from is this very same person who is hiding from himself or herself.
100%.
Most of the time, the people that actually put us in a corner, or who are discriminating against us, because they're fighting their own demons as well.
Okay.
They're fighting their own struggles as well. 100%. And they want to suppress us who are liberal. So that's why I've decided to say, okay, this is me, I'm here, I'm Lisiba, I'm a trans woman, and I'm not going to hide that. Then I started a market, which is like the village market, where I give space for people to sell their craft and whatsoever. So that was a way of saying I'm part of this community.
I'm entering
this space, and I'm going to own it, because that's all about me. I'm not shy about expressing who I am. I'm not shy about my sexuality. I'm not shy about expressing who I love, but I don't want a person to come into my space and interrogate me and discriminate me.
Got you. Speaking of that, I just want to ask you something. So you won Miss Gay Davidson in 2002, right?
Yes.
And 16 years, right, has lapsed. And I want to know from you, has there been much change between 2002 and 2018? Can you see visible change within your community and the community at large? Do you think there's been a change, or are we still where we were in 2002?
Change is there. But
I guess there's more visibility, right? Because you can.
There's more visibility.
Because on SABC One, you watch a soapy and you find a gay character. Mm. So people are opening up themselves
people
to
it. People are opening up to it, especially now that in our communities, you would not easily find a gay person walking around during the day and just being gay and glorious and whatever and being themselves. Mm-hmm. But at night, you would find people out there who would be themselves. That was one thing that
why nighttime? I realized.
Nighttime, it's where everybody, even the ones that keep on saying that they are not gay or maybe who are hiding, are actually
after nine.
After nine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, after nine. So yeah. I didn't want that for myself as well. I wanted people to identify me when I walk in the morning, whatever time of the day.
See me.
Like
me.
I'm here. Like if I want to I go to a mall, I don't want to feel like I'm invading other people's space, because that's my space as well. If I want to go to a park and just relax, I want to go to a park, and I don't want people staring at me because they feel I'm different to them. So in my community, there's been a lot of changes, because after that, I believe the pageant has opened a lot of people's eyes and their mindset as well. And I love the fact that it opened a lot of topics. People started talking and asking questions. Yes, some questions are not easily answered, but I love the fact that people started talking, and that's the good thing. That's the breakthrough for me.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love very expressive and, you know, quite informative. I love this show, actually. I'm quite impressed with the way that you're presenting yourself. Before I came to the show, I had a set of people. So, two people in their 20s, two people in their 30s, and two people in their 40s. One, I suppose, because there's like six of them, so half of them were gay and half of them were straight.
Okay.
Yeah. Irrespective of whether they were men or women. I said to them, I'm going to interview this individual. I need you to come up with questions I should ask, specifically with regards to transitioning. Because, I mean, that's the most, I suppose, the most uncomfortable thing to ask anybody. I mean, it is personal, you know. And the few questions that I actually got was, I want to know how... What is exactly transition? What, when you talk to a typical black straight person like me, I want to know exactly what do
we
mean?
What is the process of transitioning? I think that's the question you guys get asked a lot. But before we get to the answer, and I think everyone's listening in to actually hear that part of the story, let's link out to a really cool track we have lined up.
Yo, what's up, this is Brandon Leo, and you are currently tuned in Urban Culture Drive with your boy, the Seth Mapanga, the sexy girl Candace, and the one and only Craigo 6. Sit back and relax, don't worry, you're in good hands. Out.
Craigo 6 back!
Boilers,
Candace,
Craigo 6, Urban Culture Drive.
My goodness, I'm already in that mood. We were talking about something serious. And then Candace, you know what? Let me just take you to December, because it's like you're getting too serious for my liking, which is also okay. It's acceptable. Thank you for the song choice, though.
Beautiful.
I hope I got both of you guys in the discussion.
No, 100%. Win the mood.
Okay.
Great.
So as I was saying, as I was asking, you know, this group of people they gave me a couple of questions to mm-hmm. ask, which are obviously not the most comfortable to ask in general. I mean, I'm talking about people in corporate, people that are like, they think they've made it, those bitches that stay in Santon. So annoying. Yes, I'm one of them. But anyway. So what exactly is transitioning? What exactly happens to your body?
Okay. From my understanding and my knowledge and my experience, transitioning first has to start within your mind. You need to know exactly who you are, number one. Number two, you need to know where you're going, because you cannot transition and not know how you want to look, how you want to be presentable, and how you want to want people to perceive who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes it easier when people identify you, and they know who to identify and how to approach you and how to relate to you. So the first thing that happened to me, I needed to understand that I am trapped in a man's body.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in that body that I didn't identify with.
Okay.
Number one, in my teens, I wanted to develop breast at that time.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell anyone, because the minute I thought of me saying it to my mom, I knew it was going to be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, boobs? How can you want to grow boobs like you are born male and whatsoever? So that is something that I suppressed when I was a teenager. But I secretly bought myself bras.
Yeah.
I started to wear and whatsoever. And my grandmother found them. And it was like, okay, set me down. And she made me understand that I am in this body and I need to identify as a male. But if I'm gay, that's fine.
That's fine.
And I need to come out as a gay person and whatsoever and not, you understand? So she made me comfortable in saying that it's fine. You can be whoever you want to be, but just know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she also got a bit of information, but she didn't have the full information.
Of course.
If she had the full information, it was going to be easier, because that's when I would have maybe started understanding about transing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I knew, or I researched, I think when I was 21, because I wanted to look like a fully grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was just a gay feminine man who happens to look like a woman, which didn't feel well, because when I was with this group, I felt like I didn't belong, and when we were with this group, I didn't belong as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I started researching and finding out about hormones and how to get them and whatsoever, but it wasn't an easy thing to to find. Number one was, I found out about this organization, Gender Dynamics, which was in Cape Town, that was giving information about transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine I'm in Joburg, then Cape Town.
Yeah.
And I started researching about them, sending out emails to them and calling. And at that time, they couldn't give me like proper answers as well, because the organization had just started well. And I was in like in Gauteng, and they're in the Western Cape. But I love the fact that they opened a lot of doors for me, because they started inviting me into the workshops that they had.
Okay.
So expenses all paid. I think that was a good investment.
Great.
Because later on in the next, I think it was after 8 years, I became one of their board members.
Oh wow.
Why? It's because I took on the responsibility of learning about myself before I could take a step of actually transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step was going into seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, so that they can evaluate you.
Okay.
Which was
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's quite interesting. Tell
it
us about that. So
you now need to put yourself in that position to say, okay, nothing is wrong with me, but I need to convince someone else. And which was something that was not settling to me, because I need to convince him, that person that I was talking to, that I'm actually living my life as a woman.
Okay.
I'm a woman.
Okay.
You understand? I identify as a woman, not that I'm confused and whatsoever. And I feel that our government, yes, we are free as LGBTIQ or maybe as trans people to actually transition in South Africa, but we are not given spaces to transition.
Yes. Okay.
We need to have specific programs that will enable us to be ourselves without us feeling violated as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's not easy. Well, you are going through something and then you feel like you are not... you're not given a space to be yourself.
You're
not supported as well. Yeah. Because the conversations that we have with the psychiatrist are at the psych wards where it's different kind of people who have psychological problems and whatsoever. And to me it felt like, am I crazy?
Are you crazy for wanting this?
Like, am I crazy for wanting this? Does it look like I'm also like maybe a psychopath or maybe like I have a mental problem and whatsoever? So those are one of the challenges that I had to go through to say, Lisiba, wake up. You're doing this because you want this. Okay. This is the process that they gave you. Okay. Follow it. And then just comply with it. Mm-hmm. So it was one of the things that I told myself that I'm doing it, not because I want to please people, but because I want to live my life fully. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I understand. 100%. And
I see you getting a little emotional there. Obviously, very, very emotional fresh. Process.
Yeah. It is.
To talk about.
It's a very confining space because you don't know how to react to everything that is given to you. You are given that. You don't have a choice. And another thing, it's something that the government gives us. It's not like I can go to a private hospital and do everything my own way and be expected to be treated this way. So in government, it's like government official, it's like, yeah, you take this or you don't. So I went through all that process, but there was a point that I told myself.
And when you say you take this, you're speaking about the hormones and what is it?
Because the first step is this psych tests and whatever, the evaluation, and then after that you need to start taking hormones. So hormones also have their
side effects
and whatever. And that's when I started and I thought to myself, you know what, I am not going to do this to myself.
Wow.
I identify as a woman and I'm not going to put myself through that,
all of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because when people look at me, they say full woman.
Yeah.
So why do I have to go through all of that while I'm not comfortable, while I'm not treated the way I want to be treated? Mm-hmm. Yes. So it was like a life-changing experience, and I realized that transitioning, it's not about the psychiatrist or the psychologist or whoever. Mm-hmm. It's about you.
It's about you.
It's your. It's about when you talk to yourself and identify about who you are and where you want to be.
It's quite a hectic process, because we speak of it so lightly, I'm trans, but we don't even understand the beginning of all the pain, the emotions.
There's a lot
that
of
you
it.
Go through to actually get to the point where you go, okay, fine, I want to transition. Man, that is so
overwhelming.
I want to clarify something. So you say You weren't treated the way you wanted to be treated in this country when it comes to transitioning. Are you talking more from a support aspect?
It's the support aspect, number one, because I feel if you give somebody hope that this is what's going to happen, you need to make sure that you give it fully. Don't give me something that is half and other things that I'll see by myself.
Okay.
And I think there's a list that we have to wait. I don't know, maybe I'll even have my surgery when I'm 60. Why would I have to wait that long?
Yeah. Are these all costs that you have to cover, or does the government cover some of it, or subsidize?
Some of them, it's subsidized by the government.
Oh, wow.
And if you want things to be done, like...
Quick, you can pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So but in the private space...
In the private space, it's possible.
It's obviously easier, right.
But some of us, we are just people who are just working like normal people. Mm-hmm. And we don't have...
Access to funding, right?
What's this? Medical aids don't cover because it's... considered as just cosmetic surgery.
Right?
So it's things like that you look at, and when you look at it as like, I'm living in a world where I'm good enough when it comes to something, some other things I'm not good enough for.
Okay.
You understand? But that's why I'm saying we need to have a trans an institution, trans clinic.
Yes.
We need to have things that are specifically meant for us.
Yes.
And I feel that
where the focus is on the trans community.
Where the focus is solely on the trans communities, because also it's better when these things are handled while we are young, while kids are young, while I'm a teenager, I wanted to actually have started accelerated the process so that it could have been easier for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that when I grow into my adulthood, everything is much more easier than me wanting to trans at 30.
Okay. So you said the initial step is you go for your psych test, right? They clear you, then you start your hormones.
Mm.
Is the gender reassignment, which is on everyone's mind the question, right? Is that your last step?
It's your last step, but you obviously need to take your hormones continuously.
Yeah. And
so that you can support your body as well.
Okay.
But I basically stopped.
And you are still in the process of transitioning, or you just halt?
I'm still in the process, mm-hmm. but I thought to myself, I am, because after the side effects, I was like, no.
So it's that hectic.
I need to find a way of dealing with this,
yeah.
because it's not an easy thing.
Of course. What are some of the side effects?
Oh, so many.
Obviously, you're emotional,
like,
right?
Your emotions,
what physically happens, like, when you're on the hormones?
Obviously, your body changes. Like, a lot of things that just don't happen, you don't even understand yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, the reason why is you become so uncomfortable with how the change is that
you just want to opt out. You're like, you know what, fish up.
Like, so to me, I wanted, like, I thought to myself, because another friend of mine said to me, you know, sometimes we put ourselves through all of this, and then we end up transitioning when we're older and we don't have anything to live for.
Mm.
And 100%. What's the purpose of that? Can't we just live our lives and be ourselves and just without actually being cornered to actually fully transition.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a choice. You can fully transition and be fully a woman, or you can just live your life as a trans woman pre-op.
Yes.
Which is fine. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that when it comes to Home Affairs, it's a bit hectic, because now Home Affairs don't want you to come and say, I'm a trans woman, I want to change my gender identity, if you are not
if you don't have the gender reassignment surgery done. Okay.
So that was part of the things, but they're working on that. So as soon as you are in the process, you can be able to apply for that. But if you're not in the process, then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Because I look like a woman, mm-hmm. and then when I present my ID document, it's someone else.
Yeah,
true.
So I can imagine. It's,
and you find people who work with these things in the banks or wherever, or like in stores, when you have a card and it says Mr. and they're like, can we have the person's document? And I'm like, that's mine.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, ma'am, we need to see the person.
Yeah,
who,
it's not
like,
you.
That's me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because now my ID, like,
is a man,
look,
right?
No, but like my ID, I made sure that I changed my ID.
Okay.
Even
cool.
though it says mang, whatever. Yeah. But I look like who
like
I am.
You, yeah. Like Lisita.
So they would see like, the, okay.
A big sharp.
Well,
yeah.
I feel like the practical realities of it is like, they're quite intense.
They are intense.
We look at it from an aesthetic point of view, but there's actually a lot that goes into it. And, you know, these guys, I ask them, guys, you can ask me anything. I'm like, you can ask anything. And
yeah.
The two questions that stood out for me was obviously that one. Mm-hmm. And the second one was, in a perfect world, like, let's say me and Candace mm-hmm. were to commit a crime, right, would go to jail specifically for our genders.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard of any South African cases of, you know, trans people or transvestite or people that identify themselves as women.
Mm.
I'm very curious. I mean, I just want your opinion. I don't know if you've heard or... I mean, what would happen if, let's say, a transgendered woman were to commit a crime and she'd have to go to jail?
Mm.
Where would they go?
Yeah, and, how do they decide?
You know, you get very... And it's an uncomfortable question.
I think it would be based on the genitalia.
Definitely, because obviously they need to strip you naked.
Because that's your identifier. Yeah.
I can imagine how that would be like.
They'll strip you naked so that they can be able to identify that. Because also it happens they'll arrest me.
Mm.
Thinking I'm a woman, put me with other women, and then when it needs to now
be real,
obviously
that's my
understanding as well. Mm. But I know that gender dynamics is also I think in the past week or this week there was a case that they are pushing or in support of that the correctional service has to adjust and amend for people who identify as trans, mm-hmm. so that they can be separated. Because another thing, when you are in my situation and you put in a male confinement, yeah. obviously, for me, I would not be comfortable. Even if they put me in isolation, but I would still feel like, okay,
you're vulnerable.
Yeah,
vulnerable.
I'm vulnerable.
And anything can happen.
Like anything can happen. Like people who have money in jail and want to rape me can can get that access. You understand? Sure. And that's one thing that I feel pity for people who actually have to go through that.
Yeah.
That you need to just be violated in that manner. Okay. Yes. But this a prison is not a place for
obvious
everyone.
For anyone.
But you need to actually be respected as a human. You have human rights. You need to be safe as well. So yeah.
All right. No. That's quite elaborative and sad in a way.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, it really hits home.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, on a lighter note, you've been such an amazing.
Yeah. No. This has been so
it was
informative.
So informative,
man.
And you know,
has it been? That's great.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You know. So tell me, what now? What's the next, Lisiva? What is Lee doing now? What are you aspiring to do?
Okay, there's so many things that I'm aspiring to do. I want people to understand me fully about who I am and how I live my life, and that's why I've dedicated my life into posting about my everyday life, my experiences, how I feel, how I view my life on my Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter on the hashtag Lisiva Says and Lisiva Shares. I'm expressing who I am, and I'm actually practicing my skills as a writer, because I want to be able to write narratives that will actually help people to come out of their shells and just blossom to be who they are and just express themselves daily, not only for the LGBTI community, but for everybody who feels cornered or who feels that they're different or who feels that they need to share their lives with everyone. And I'm continuing being the gender dynamics board, and I just want that to impact also in my life, and everything that I do has to be visible to everyone, so that it can motivate and inspire young kids growing up so that they can have their own identity.
Of course.
I'm working on it's going to be like a YouTube program called Queer Diverts, where I'm going to be it's going to be a talk show about LGBTI issues, where we're going to be intervening between parents and kids, teachers and school kids who are transgender or maybe a gay, lesbian or bisexual. So there's going to be a lot of various topics that we're going to be doing. I'm continuing as well to help out a friend of mine who's doing a page called Brave Beauties Essay, which is from the Brave Beauties program that we do with Zanele Moholi, which is all about trans women identifying and celebrating who they are, and also pushing and being individuals and actually being themselves. So there's so many things that I'm focusing on. The Village Market is going to be growing next year. There's going to be so many events that I'm going to be doing.
And me and Candice are going to be a part of those, of course.
Yes, 100%.
Definitely, 100%. Definitely. And I'm also looking at two more international trips that I'm going to be doing.
Wow.
That I feel are just going to be so beneficial, because I want to broaden my knowledge as well about transitioning.
Specifically in a South African context.
Yes, in a South African context, because I feel that we need to be not only tolerant but appreciative of who we are as transgender people, and people need to understand us fully, because you might never know. One of your family member could be trans and not free about it. Mm-hmm. So it would be easier when somebody else understands it, so that it can be something that you help out with information, with just being a support structure and whatsoever. Because as LGBTIs, we need all the support that we can
get
from the community, from our families, from our public servants. Mm-hmm. We need that support. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. On a lighter note, we are going to fry you up right
We're
now.
We're going to shake your world
shake
a bit,
your world
honey.
A little
huh?
bit.
This is where it gets crazy.
Oh, okay. 100%.
This is where it gets crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Urban Culture Drive.
So this game is called Death is Not an Option, because literally death is not an option. I will pose a question to you as a statement, and as it is, you should tell me which one you'd rather. So there's no
okay.
wiggling your way
there's
out
no
of
maybe,
it.
No, yeah.
There's no, guys, hey, but hey. Only if this happens. It is what it is. I said what I said. So I'll start with you, Lesiba.
Okay.
Threesome with Linda Mukhetsi and Sumizi, or with Craig and Lasizwe? Hey, hey. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Okay, repeat the question, please. Let me get my mind into it and
would
imagine
you,
it.
Into
would
it?
You yes. rather have a threesome with Linda Mukwetsi and Sumizi, or with Craig and Lasizwe?
Can I have Craig and Lasizwe, please?
I don't think Craig will be a part of that. I don't think Craig will attend, hey, because he's got beef with Lasizwe.
No, I'll make it more of a
get them drunk. Yeah. Just get them both drunk. It's fine.
No, don't worry. Even if they're sober, they'll do it.
Okay, you Craig or Sayzi?
Yes.
Lose both. Would you rather lose both legs or lose three fingers?
Three fingers. I'd rather lose three fingers.
Yeah.
My legs
yeah,
are worth my future.
Okay. Fine. Yusiba.
Yes.
So Donald Trump asked you to lead the Miss America project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pass knowing what you know? Or do you take the opportunity and receive worldwide black backlash, but go on to flourish worldwide?
You know what? With the business sense that I have, I would take the opportunity and rock that show and make sure that Donald Trump comes back to me and say, baby, you did well.
There we go. There we go, girl. So you, Craig O'Sexy, yeah. would you rather achieve fame, money, and glory but forfeit your academic career, or keep your academic career but go broke at 40?
Fame, money, and fortune, because I can always buy the degrees.
Okay. True. Yeah. Okay. So you, Lesiba, would you rather join RuPaul's production, but he gives you no creative freedom, but pays you well, or have complete creative control, but with no compensation?
Oh God, that's so high.
It's tense, man.
It is.
Where's your headspace? Is it with the opportunity? I know. I know completely what you mean.
Mm. RuPaul.
Oh God. Like now, I'm thinking. This question.
Pay or
is,
no pay?
Yo.
Creative can control.
Can I have more pay, please? Can I have more pay?
So you would rather have less creative control?
No, it's fine.
Or no? Okay. If, cool.
Yeah, because that's his name on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, okay. So. Fine. And Craig,
yes?
This is the last one.
All right.
Would you rather go on to be a porn star or Bonang's handbag?
Porn star. I think I'd be a fabulous porn star.
I think so. Thank you so much. Thank you for playing this game. I appreciate it.
100%. You know, yes, Candace, you really, really shook us up.
Yeah. Where do you get your questions?
Last week's was so pop. Like, who was I with last week? And I read the questions and I'm like, these are boring, man. These are boring. And everyone in the studio was like, yeah, they're pretty boring.
So you did your homework this time.
I did.
Urban Culture Drive.
Oh wow, what a show.
What a show.
It's so sad when this hour passes
like,
through.
Oh God.
You know? It's like it's almost a wrap.
And guys, can we need her back. Please.
Yeah, I know. Like
we need a bag because I know people have questions. People are going to come.
Tons, you know?
We probably didn't ask all of them.
Yeah, no.
Obviously. I mean, we had to be diplomatic, and you know, it's very intense when people get touched. You know,
I want to ask a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a situation where a man thought you were a woman?
100%.
You were 100% woman, and you guys are getting a little frisky.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to touch you.
And then things happen.
And then he's like, Heaven.
Heaven.
Emanyan.
Rewind.
Heaven too.
Oh, goodness. No.
I'm sure okay, it might have happened.
Okay. There's so many of those stories where a man would actually approach you like at a club and whatsoever, dances with you in the mood and like he's doing the booty hopping and he's touching and whatever.
Yeah. Homonad.
Homonad. And then when he's realizing, or maybe someone points out that dude, hello, did you just see?
Yeah.
And then when he realized, and then he acts all up and you're like, okay.
And
but
he walks
like,
away. But you've never been in a situation where you guys are making out?
Nope. Because I I make sure that I tell somebody
before we even disclose. Oh, you disclose. Bad.
I don't want to be pushed out of a window.
Imagine, bro.
Or of a moving car. Like, guys, no. But that's reality.
Yeah,
because
that is reality.
Also, what I know is a lot of transgender sex workers who are in those positions where they're at work and they don't need to disclose anything because you're a client, you're there to pay, you do whatever, and then you walk away. But the minute that you find out that I am actually a trans, and then you try to beat me up or whatsoever. So for me, I don't want to be
violated.
One of the stats, one of the cases and whatsoever. And also, it happens even in the taverns, the clubs that we go to, that a person would actually approach you, not knowing, buy you drinks, and then after buying drinks, and then you drink the drinks, and they're like. And then
that being said, have you slept with a straight man after like telling him, look, I am transitioning or
there
whatever?
Is no such thing as a straight man.
Okay.
Abby, I think Craig.
Abby. No, I'm fighting.
There is no such thing as a straight man. I would say bisexual because a lot of people are scared to say they're bisexual, and that's where I think most straight people are. They're bisexual.
No, but I mean in a sense of like, okay, he.
I preferably date bisexual men.
Gotcha. Okay. I have a last one for you. So you're at a restaurant. Which loo do you use?
Oh, the female. I would never. Okay. I've never. Okay, let me just be honest with you. The last time I walked into a male's toilet was in grade 5.
Oh. What? Okay, yes. Girl.
So I made sure it's because like I'm a very outspoken person. So it's cool. I told them that I am not going to use that loo. It's either I'll go to the principal's office loo or whatsoever.
Yeah.
So at that time I started being like outspoken or whatsoever and they understood.
And owning your
and owning
your truth,
my because
right?
I was a prefect and all those things. So I would be like one of those people who are outspoken and they would just leave me like, oh, okay, this one is just a loud mouth. So let's see, but just be. You understand? So I never, even my dad, before he passed away, he knew that this one is just crazy. So when it was like loo time, I was like, that's 100%. One. And I walk into that loo and I just front my staff and I'm like, okay.
There we go.
There we go.
100%, 100%. There we go. Thank you.
So we normally
so
wrap
much.
Up the show with like positive, I don't know, word or phrases that you'd like to, you know, say for the week or for the year. So since it's December, boss, what are your wrap up thoughts, guys? Especially taking into account what we spoke about today. I'm gonna start with Candace.
Yeah.
I will say, be you unapologetically, for God's sake.
Yes. Like you took that out of my mouth. I was about to say that. But another thing, be you and be safe. That's the most important
thing.
Safe
as in wear a condom.
Safe, wear a condom. Even if you wear it on your head, it's fine. But just be safe.
Wrap it up, y'all.
Be safe. Let people know where you're going, with whom and what's... Like, just make sure that wherever you are, people know where you are. Because we don't want any of the hate crime cases and people disappearing and people, because this is like the 16 days of activism. We just need to be careful, guys.
All right, that's beautiful. For me, from my side, I'm just gonna say white, black, straight, bisexual, colored,
pink,
sexy,
blue, gray, yellow.
Remove the labels. Remove the labels. We're all individuals. We should all love each other.
Lissiba, thank you so much for coming through. It's been an incredible show, guys. It's our first birthday.
Yeah.
It's been a year of nothing but urban culture. Woo! Thank you guys for being such loyal listeners. Thank you so much for everyone that supported us. I hope you guys have enjoyed this year.
It's been amazing.
As much as we have. And here's to another freaking year. Pop the champagne, Craig!
Urban Culture Drive. This is CliffCentral.com.